I'll tell you, when we used to pastor years ago, we pastored for a number of years, we put a lot of stock in the children because they are our future. And they need to be in the presence of God. They need to know who they are in Christ. They need to be prayed on, blessed. They need to be encouraged. Because I know that some of us as kids, we were not. In fact, we were told the opposite. So it's important to bless the kids, and it's really something to see when that happens. I have a scripture verse that the Lord has made very, very real to me, and I want to share it to you. I'm looking at Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 29. I have a parallel Bible, so I will read it out of both. But the King James Version says this. It says, "Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" Well, that's very strong. When you look at the Amplified, it says something and adds a word here that brings out the meaning a little more clear. It says, "Is not my word like fire that consumes all that cannot endure the test, says the Lord. And it's like a hammer that breaks in pieces the rock of the most stubborn resistance." And I was meditating on that, and I'm thinking, whatever it is, whatever mountain that is in my life, I know that I keep coming at it with the Word of God. It's got to break. It can't be just mental ascent, and maybe not just once or twice. You have to keep hammering and hammering the Word of God against the problem. The problem can be an opportunity to see the hand of the Lord move, to see Him work. To see Him work in that situation. Don and I have recently moved from the Toronto area over to the London area. And we sold our home. We put it up. And it was gone before we could think whether or not we should do it or not. It actually went within hours. I thought, wow, that's fast. It's over. And so we had to deal with that. But God was leading us one step at a time. So we moved out and we rented a place. This all happened in the last 5 or 6 months. We took a place out near London just to rent to find out where we wanted to live. And while we were there, we were looking around for a home. We had made enough money off the home that we sold to put a down payment on something. And so we needed to do that, and we knew that. In any case, we found the home. We went for financing. We put an offer on it, conditional upon financing. We went for financing, and we were turned down. If you're in your own business where we come from, or if you're in ministry, the banks don't look at you too favorably. If you have a big and large investment, they want you and they'll come calling. In any case, they turned us down. Someone had called us, actually the real estate person said, "Well, I know of a broker who could probably get the job done." We called the broker. The next day, the broker called back. First of all, we faxed off many sheets of paper, all that information that they needed, and that's fine. That's right. And as we did, the next day she called and says, "Well, I'm giving you a verbally yes." In the meantime, I had been confessing, believing God, that we would have favor. And we were hammering the word. Because I knew, as being in the ministry, that they do not look favorably upon us. There are many times that if we go to do something or get something, I just say, right now, if I really honestly don't need it, I'm going to pass on it because I don't want to go through that rejection and so on with lenders. I'm not blaming them, I'm just saying that's the way the world works. In any case, after confessing and hammering for 2 or 3 days, for hours each day, we ended up with the verbal yes. That's how it got to that point. But I also knew that we needed to give them other documents. She said, yes, but the lenders need three other documents. So we were preparing them documents. We gave her the documents. But I knew that the enemy would want to steal this. And they didn't want to get turned down. That day I had gone to the dentist and I had had shots in my mouth. And I had come home and we'd got the news. And so we're waiting on the lenders to look at the papers and say yes or no. But I went after it because I knew that we needed this home. It was the right timing. It was the right one. It was the right thing to do. I was not going to let the enemy have it. We as Christians have allowed the enemy to take too much. He has come to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. This house was an abundant gift from God, especially what we've been through lately and all the rest of it. God gave me a scripture, though. He gave me James chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. It talks about don't be deceived, don't be in error, don't be misled, verse 16 says. Verse 17 says, for every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, where there's no variableness or no shadow of turning. And so as God gave me that word, I began to confess that word over this last situation who the lender had the three documents, because they could have said no, but we needed favor. But we also, Lord, Father, I bring you into this. This is not something I'm doing on my own. I have learned to trust you and rely on you, and to rely on the word. So I kept hammering the word, even though I was at the dentist and came home with a frozen mouth, I did not feel like doing any confession. But I did. It's not always, we're not always feeling the best. But if you are feeling the best, that's the time to do it. Take back ground. Because you still have to do it no matter how you feel. Anyways, it didn't take that long, and I knew because God had dropped it into me that yes, the house is yours. You've had the favor, and the answer is yes. And I was looking for Donna because I wanted to tell her, it's over, we got it, and that's it. But she was on the phone because they had called her instead of me, telling her that the answer is yes. So God is, amen, God is good. But he has given it to us. He's done it all 2,000 years ago. And now we have to take it. We have to take the kingdom by force. He has given us tools to take it. And confession is a major, major tool. A lot of you know my testimony. But when I had the first cancer, it was just after the year 2000. But there was a lot of tests and a lot of things going on. But finally, I said yes to an operation which began the very first week or two in January of 2003. Well, when they had operated, they had really, really messed it up. And so they called back in a few weeks later, called me, wanted me to come back in. They said they want to redo it, but there was a definite no inside of me, definite no. But I did go see the doctor to find out what he had to say. As he was telling me this and telling me to get my house in order and if I don't do this, I'm going to die and all the rest of it, all the negatives, I stopped listening to him while I was in his office. And the scripture came to me. It says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Job, I believe it's 25 verse 19 or 19 to 25, either one. And I know what the word Redeemer means. So I know that he liveth. He's alive. He's on the throne. He's not gone anywhere. He's not too busy. He's not tired. He's not taking a nap. He's there. Hallelujah. I know that my Redeemer lives. I had left there and I drove down to Tulsa, Oklahoma, where at that time I was part of the Kenneth Hagin organization. I still am. But anyways, I went to 29 meetings or 27 meetings the week that I was there. They were feeding me faith with a garden hose. They were teaching me, reteaching me about confession. Because if there's anything about dear brother Kenneth Hagin, Father Hagin, Pop Hagin, he taught about confession. He taught about faith. And being with them for many years, I had learned about confession. Coming over here, though, into meeting Pastor Jim and Dave and the rest of them, confession is very, very big here, too. So it just seemed to be my whole Christian life for 40 years has been about learning how to confess and making sure that I confess and making sure it's part of what I do. In any case, long story short, went down there, filled with faith, come back, locked myself away for 10, 12 hours a day, just confessing the Word, just worshiping God, but mostly confessing the Word, confessing that I was healed. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life to them that find them, and health or medicine to all their flesh. I began to get this to become a part of me. He says, my covenant I will not break. He will not alter his word. He told me that we can live 70 plus 10 if we take care of ourselves. I know that's 70 or 80. And at the time, I was only around 50 years old. I knew that it was too early to go. I knew that there was things to do. He says, if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. I knew by getting enough of the word into me, it would quicken my mortal body. I knew it was going after the cancer that was in me. And I was fighting the fears that the doctor would put into me. And the fact that if I didn't get healed, that I was going home early. But as I confessed and confessed, there came a day, a couple of months later, that I got a call from one of the ministers down there. He was just checking up on me to see how I was doing. As he began to pray, my mind was in line with my heart. And as he prayed, I felt the liquid gold, the anointing, the manifest presence of God, the healing power of God flowing through me. And I knew I was healed. Confession of the word will take anything out. When the supernatural hits the natural, something will give. 2 Corinthians 4:18. And it's always the natural. The doctors may say this and they may say that, and it's true. They're not lying. They're telling us what we have according to what they have, the knowledge they have. But the truth of the matter is that by his stripes we are healed. Now, that's easier said than done. We have to really get focused. We have to really believe that the Word of God is the answer. Thank God for the doctor. I mean, the Lord heals in a number of ways. He uses the medical. He uses the natural. He uses the supernatural, of course. But he also tells us about the demonic. And the demonic has come, like I said, to kill, steal, and destroy. We have a mouth. We have the Word of God in us. We have to start hammering the thing that has come against us. If it's a lack, we need to hammer the lack. We shouldn't live in poverty and need all the time. My God shall provide all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If there's a lack in our life, we need to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he's in charge of that. For I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for my sakes he became poor, that me through his poverty might become rich. Substitution identification. He took our place. Now I can identify with him. The thing is, though, the enemy will come and make us look like, hey, you can't do this. He'll bring up religious mindsets. Or he'll want us to believe a half a truth, and God does not back half a truths. Today, we're at a church, friends of ours. And this pastor had asked me to lead the prayer group. There was already one there, but she had asked me to come in. I've known her a number of years. And she had knew because I'd been there before, and I talked about Dave Roberson's model of I think he does an hour, or 3 hours, or 3 days, and 3 days, whatever he does. But he does the praying in the Spirit, the private worship, and confession of the Word. Well, we have 1 hour and a half. And by the way, I've taught that all over Quebec and some places in Ontario. And it's a model that really, really works. You may know about it here, and maybe you just kind of slip back a little bit from it, but it really, really works. So we take the first half hour. We pray in the Spirit. We don't want nothing else done but just praying in the Spirit. Because when you pray in the Spirit, you build yourself up in your most holy faith. You build in you that superstructure. We already are in the faith, but praying in the Spirit is building us up on our most holy faith. We also, when we pray in the Spirit, we can speak mysteries. He that prays in an unknown tongue does not speak to man, but to God. For no man understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. God will begin to download to us mysteries while we're praying in the Spirit. Mysteries are a hidden truth that have been in God since before the world even began. But now he's making manifest them to us. So while we're praying that half an hour, he's downloading us with things like mysteries. He's telling us where we're going in this life. He's telling us what's happening. The Spirit of Truth is guiding us, telling us about things to come. But in any case, we're doing that. We're building ourselves up on the most holy faith. The second half hour, we take and we just worship God. Because worshiping God, we know that God inhabits the praises of his people. So we're lining our mind up, our emotions up with the Word, with our spirit. Because our spirit has been lifted up, raised up, built up in him. So now our mind is. So when our mind is lined up and we've been experienced the presence of God, after that half hour, then we go into the next half hour. The next half hour, things are happening. We've just started this, but things are beginning to happen. I've seen things happen over the years where we've done this before, and we've seen things like miracles work. We're praying and confessing. We're confessing the Word over situations and over people who have illness, who have lack, who have tragedy, whose children are away from the Lord. We take Scripture and confess it over them, and we're beginning to see things happen here. If you have a child that's away from the Lord, take Isaiah chapter 54, verse 13. All my children will be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace. All my children will be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace. All my children will be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace. We're confessing this, not because God needs to hear it, but because we do. And when it becomes part of us, we move in that, and we believe it to the point where we know that our children are going to be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace. As parents, we have all gone through it, it seems. So we need to do that. So in that last half hour, as we're confessing the Word, we have a list. We're given a list of things that are needed within the church, and we'll take and write a scripture beside that. And we'll begin to confess that word over that issue, over that situation. People needing direction. People walking in fear. People needing a job. People that are sick. You see, now after the first hour, the two first half hours, we're built up and our mind is flowing with the presence of God because he is present. And now we're confessing based on faith. It's not a hit in the dark. It's strategic. And that's what we're doing. God is so good. There are about four models that I can think of in terms of confession. I don't know how far I'll get today on them, but I would say this, that confession is different than prayer. The Bible says, have the faith of God. And if anyone shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in its heart, but believe the things that you say will come to pass, then you will have whatsoever things you say. We see that in Acts chapter 3. We see Peter and John going up to prayer. There's a lame guy at the gate. Peter and John see him. Now this lame guy is focused, right? And Peter says, look at us. The lame guy looks at us and looks at them and he thinks, well, I'm going to be receiving something. Well, Peter did not call for his intercessors. But there's nothing wrong with that. I'm an intercessor myself. But he did not do that. He did not pray to God. Say, oh God, would you please heal him? And all the rest of it. And there's nothing wrong with that either. But he said, look at me. And when the man looked at him, he took him by the right hand. He said, silver and gold have I not, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. See, he didn't pray. He didn't go to his closet at that particular time. He moved knowing who he was, and he gave the command based on the word of God. He knew that every knee has to bow and every tongue has to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so as we're moving around, we see people, we just take them and pray. I was in the London hospital the other day. We were there all day. And I took a young fella down there. He has cancer. And as he was hooked up doing the chemotherapy, I was sitting there a lot of the time. Other times I went to the cafeteria and that, but I'm always just seeking the Lord, praying, like, who can I talk to here? This is a place, the hospital is a place where you can talk to people. Especially, I remember when I was in the hospital, there was one guy that was just given his diagnosis of him having cancer. He was sitting at the front door crying because they told him that he was going to die. And I just happened to come walking by. And as he was crying, God said, speak to him. And I did, and I led him to Christ. People in the hospital are ready to receive. That's why someday, soon, we are going to go and we're going to clean out hospitals. Yes, amen. They don't want to be there. And we're going to walk in and give the command. And things are going to happen. The thing about this one here in Acts chapter 3, when the lame man started leaping and jumping and praising God, he got the attention of the people. When miracles begin to happen, you get the attention of the people. It says they were amazed. So then Peter starts preaching to them. And as he was preaching, I think it was 3,000 or 4,000 came to Christ because of that one miracle. We need that. So I'm sitting in the hospital in London, and I'm with this young man. They're in a big kind of long, big chair. They're not in a bed. They're sitting up, and they've got this stuff going through them, the chemotherapy. In the other chair, there's a lady. She's about 50-ish. She had worked for the government in stats. Or in customs. It was customs, sorry. And she was sitting there and I'm saying, Lord, how can I witness to her as I'm sitting there with this young man? And the Lord opened the door and she started saying, all my, organs began to be separating. And she has a cancer. And I said, that's it. Because at one particular time, that's what happened to me. My organs were separated. I was full of poison. I had had the cancer. I had had it twice. Hepatitis 3. Not 3, but hepatitis C was the third big battle. But in any case, I knew what she was going through. And I knew what was going on in the mind. And I knew that she was not a Christian in terms of just how she was talking. But I said, lady, I understand what you're going through. And I just quickly told her. And then I began to confess the word. I said, you know, but Jesus Christ can heal. And here's what he can do. I didn't pray for her to get born again, but I prayed for her and led her right to the place where if she wants to go any further, all she has to do is say, Lord, this guy that prayed for me and said them words and talked that scripture, is this true? Jesus Christ will and can heal her. We need to learn how to confess the word and be bold. We need to learn how to confess the word for us, but not only for us. The next level would be for others, for hospitals, for government, for churches, for workplace, for people, for family. It's not a control. You know, back in the day, there was Pharisees and scribes who used to walk around praying and confessing. Well, they were doing it to be seen of men. When we confess as born-again Christians, we're doing it to become more mature in Christ, to move in faith, to be able to speak to the mountain and see it move. We all have mountains, and we can see them move. The four models that I was just mentioning was one. If you look, and I'll just quickly run through them. The first one is the 30-30-30 for us. You can build yourself up. You can worship God. And then you can confess. You see, you'll never rise above your confession. Confession is so important. And it is a hammer. Remember, it'll break the most stubborn, obstinate thing. Never give up. Never give up. Never throw the towel in. Hebrews 4 and 12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Listen, if you have any pains and things going on, even in the joints and marrow, the word of God will deal with that. So I guess the first model is to be able to, you know, do the 30-30-30. In some cases, it may be 5 minutes, 5 minutes, and 5 minutes. In others, it could be a lot longer than that. But things will begin to move. The second thing is to take 3 to 5 scriptures for yourself, as I did with my first cancer. I took some of them scriptures that I went through, stayed in my room, just confessed the scriptures, until my mind lined up with my spirit. And so when the minister called me, it was already lined up. We just pushed it in. I knew I was healed of the cancer. And I was. It was confirmed. Another way is to appropriate who we are. The Bible says, if you continue in my word, then you will be my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We need to confess this till we believe it. And once we believe it, then no matter what tries to attack us, it can't stay. It cannot stay. So we need to know who we are in Christ. Confession of the word will get us there fast. Another way is to take some of the scripture that's obviously in the Bible. But in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 61, it talks about a lot of the sicknesses and diseases that are under the curse of the law. I mean, sin will bring curse. But in any case, it talks about every sickness and every disease being under the curse of the law. The devil is pretty smart. When he brings things and puts them on us, he'll tell us we may be under a curse. But we cannot be under a curse. Because Galatians 3:13 tells us, for Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So the devil will come along and make us think we're under the curse. Make us think that we deserve this sickness, pain, lack, or whatever it is. But it can't because we are born again Christians. Now, if we start walking in disobedience and get out there, I don't know what's going to happen. But as we're walking and focused with the Lord, nothing like that can come on us. Psalm 91 tells us He'll protect us. He'll hide us. We're with Him. Ephesians 2:6 says He's made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ. So we need to confess the word. For example, if we had a cancer, we would know and say, according to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 61, this cancer is under the curse of the law. But according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I confess that I have been redeemed from cancer. There are so many ways to confess the word. Let's say you had high blood pressure. This high blood pressure, according to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 61, is under the curse of the law. But according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I confess that I am redeemed from high blood pressure. Let's take another one. Sugar diabetes. This sugar diabetes is under the curse of the law, according to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 61. You see, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, it lists all the curses, all the sicknesses, all the diseases, all the lacks, the fear, all the rest of it, the long-lasting diseases. And so according to that chapter, chapter 28, verse 61, whatever it is that you have, say it's under the curse of the law. But then say, according to Galatians 3, verse 13, I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. For Christ became a curse for me. He did it all. So one of the models would be the 30-30-30 that we're doing right now, or whichever time you wanted to take. But make sure you do the praying in the Spirit, the private worship, and the confession. That's number one. Number two would be to appropriate who you are in Christ, understanding that nothing can lack or attach onto you because you have the Word. You have the Word so strong in you that nothing can stand, nothing can stay. And especially in areas that you move to a place of faith where you believe that, hey, that can't touch me. After 12 years with my sicknesses, I remember the last time, the last sickness, I was in the hospital. And I remember faith rising up and I said, you know, devil, you had your way for 12 years. I said, you will never, ever make me sick like this again. Wasn't that night, but the next night I jumped out of bed. Got the doctors upset and all the rest of it, but never took any kind of medication concerning that again. I had hepatitis C, fourth stage, and all the rest of it, but it's totally healed and I have it documented and all the rest of it. So that would be the 30-30-30, the appropriation, and then taking Deuteronomy 28, verse 61, and confessing Galatians 3:13. And then the other one would be taking three or four or five scriptures concerning your particular situation and confessing over and over and over. Like the time we needed the house, or like the time I needed to be healed of cancer. It doesn't matter if there's lack, if it's cancer. We can be everything the Word of God says we can be. So we would never rise above our confession. And confession is not prayer based on what I understand the Scripture to teach. I know they work together and we need to pray and all the rest of it. I'm not downing that. But we need to be able to command like Peter and John did. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. They knew who they were. Well, Father, we just thank you today for what you're doing. I praise your name, Lord, that we can confess. We know that every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father, in whom there's no variableness or shadow of turning. Everything that the Word says that we are and everything that it says that we can have, we can have. Father, give us the tenacity. Help us to have the strength for change. Help us, Lord, to go after what it is that we need relentlessly, Lord. We shall take the kingdom by force. We will take what we need, Lord, not only for us, but for the people who need it, also for this country, for the leaders. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for who you are. We give you all the praise and all the glory. We hold fast to our confession. Jesus Christ is Lord, and you are our great apostle and high priest. In Jesus' name. Let me ask you this. I know that I want to pray for Don. But is there anybody else that would like prayer this morning? If you do, I would like to take a scripture and confess it over you. That way it takes the pressure off me and puts the pressure on the Word. Very simple that way. I know Don with that sickness, we're going to confess. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 and 5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. For he was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, but by his stripes we're healed. We're filled with peace. We're not to be anxious about anything. But with prayer and supplication, let our requests be made known unto the Lord. And he's the God of peace. He'll referee what's going on in your mind. If we give it to him, he'll work with us. If you're going through some sort of sin, no matter where you are, if you keep asking him to work with you, even if you're fallen every day, if you go through hell, he'll go with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. It's when you turn your back on him. Ask him to give you a scripture. Let the scripture do the walking, so to speak. Let it be like that hammer that smashes that thing to pieces. He's standing at the door knocking. It's up to us to let him in. Let us fill ourselves with the Word and then begin to confess it. People need us to confess the Word over them. And again, there's nothing wrong with praying, of course. But I just believe once we know who we are in Christ, we begin to confess that things have to move. Can you imagine the lame man from his mother's birth, from his mother's womb, sitting there every day, begging for money? Peter and John came along, said, I ain't giving you any money, but focus. Stop focusing on that. Focus on me, because I have something for you. Silver and gold have I none for you, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. A lot of things had to happen to that guy that day. He not only leaped and ran and praised God, he had to get strength in his legs to do that. Because he'd been in a seating position. Someone said he was somewhere around 40 years old. I mean, I don't know. Didn't matter. He was like that since his mother's womb, since he was born. Now he had to work. So if there's anybody here that would like prayer, I would love to speak the word with you. Confess healing. Confess abundance for lack. Confess salvation for those who of your family maybe who is not born again. The Bible says if you confess, if you accept the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved and your household. I was going to say if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. He's interested in our household. If we have kids that are away from the Lord, we need to confess them in. The harvest is ready, but the workers are few. Lord, send out harvesters. And maybe we're not the person to speak to them, but we're certainly the person to confess that they will be spoken to.